Okay. Welcome everyone to the Borough of Roosevelt Council Meeting, July 6, 2021 at 7:07 p.m. Due to the coronavirus and the need for social distancing, this meeting will also be held remotely and available to the public in a live feed. Adequate notice of this meeting, as required by Chapter 231, PL 1975, has been provided by a public notice on January 25th, 2021, which was posted on the bulletin board in the Roosevelt Post Office and in the Borough Hall. Also published in the Times and the Asbury Park Press. Roll call.
Mr. Atwood?
Here.
Mr. Esikoff?
Yes, ma'am.
Mr. Hamilton?
Here.
Ms. Herbstrom?
Here.
Mr. Mocker?
Here.
Mr. Trammell is absent. Mayor Malkin?
Here. Okay. So first, I would like to warmly welcome Connie Herbstrom as our new council member. I think almost all of you know her, but Connie's lived here since the mid-70s. Actually, we have a strong Farm Lane contingency now, right? Three of our six are from Farm Lane. So, Connie, I hope you enjoy your time on the council. We're certainly glad to have you.
Thank you.
And I'm going to, we have a lot on the agenda tonight. Go right to public comment on agenda items only. Open the floor at 7:08. And is there anyone from the public who has anything they would like to comment on about items on the agenda only? If you're new to attending council meetings, this part of the meeting is whatever's listed in the agenda you can speak about. If you have something else you would like to talk about that is not part of our agenda, then much later on in the meeting is the public portion part where you can speak about anything. So is there anyone who would like to speak about agenda items only? And being none after that long speech, we'll close the public portion on the agenda items at 7:09 p.m. We come to approval of minutes. These are the regular meeting minutes from June 21st, 2021. Do I have a motion?
Yes, you do.
Do I have a second?
I second it.
Roll call.
Before we have a roll call, I have some suggestions for corrections to the minutes?
Sure, go right ahead.
There's a section where it mentions Maureen Parrott, and Parrott is spelled with one T, but it has two T's, two R's and two T's. And it mentions that she thinks we should require power companies to pay for traffic control, and then it doesn't have anything else in that sentence. I think it should be clarified that what she wanted is traffic control in the event of a downed power line blocking municipal roads.
That's definitely more accurate.
Yeah, and it just dropped off and said require power companies to do traffic control, which would be really nice, but they're not going to do it for everything. So.
No, you're right, and that's why I miss Lori so much. I had to do the minutes.
Okay.
Anything else?
No, otherwise it's perfect.
Okay.
Roll call.
So just so you know, Mr. Esikoff and Mr. Atwood, with that amendment, you accept that amendment and stay with your first and second?
Yeah.
I have no choice.
All right.
I accept, of course.
All right, as amended. All right, Mr. Atwood?
Yes.
Mr. Esikoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Ms. Herbstrom?
Yes.
Mr. Mocker?
Yes.
And Mr. Trammell?
Absent.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry.
Okay, the minutes pass. Comes correspondence. We have a letter from Roberts Engineering dated June 22nd, 2021 regarding Arco Road drainage concerns. And we also have a letter from Roberts Engineering dated June 23rd regarding South Rochdale Avenue wayfinding signage. And third, we have a letter from Monmouth County dated June 30th, 2021 regarding participating with Monmouth County in the LEAP implementation grant.
I do have that one under new business.
Right, right. So that's why it's the first two letters from Roberts Engineering. Did anyone have anything they wanted to discuss about it or ask any questions?
Is there any progress on that one with the signage?
Yes. So the way it works is that...
What do you know that I don't know?
Pardon me, Lou?
What do you know that I don't know?
What I know is that... the letter has to go from Carmella to the county. So I have to.
I thought she did last time.
I can speak about that, Peggy.
Yeah.
So what happened is that there was a recommendation made by Ms. Roberts regarding the signage, and this is obviously the concern over the Great Adventure and the traffic. Yeah. And what's going to happen now is the county, and according to the letter of June 23rd of 2021, the county is going to review the situation and the placement of the signage. They're going to review it. They're going to modify the Route 571 sign. Okay, and evaluate the traffic to determine if any other further action would be needed, such as like a separate sign for Great Adventure in one of those brown signs with the white lettering and the arrows. If the modified signage does not work, we can then meet with the county, the elected officials, the mayor can meet and decide if that's not working for Roosevelt. And if it isn't, then, you know, they can take the other steps to either modify the signage again or to include new signage. This is obviously over the concern of the traffic, and the people making the wrong turns in order to get to Great Adventure and other areas.
At really high speeds, like realizing that they think they're lost and, you know, 60 miles an hour careening to the right or to the left, you know, down the side streets. Yeah, I actually just spoke to Greg Canning about this like minutes before our meeting started. So hopefully we can get this done quickly because, you know, the traffic has already started. I mean, we've already seen a number of just unbelievable, more traffic than we've ever seen in Roosevelt going to Great Adventure.
And then coming on the way back, you know, at the end of the night.
Yeah, I saw about
15 cars just turning.
Actually, I was going to say last Saturday, not this past Saturday, the one before, the 26th, I had to go to Princeton in the morning. And so, you know, I was heading towards Twin Rivers to go around the lake to get on the bypass to get onto Princeton Heights Town Road. And in all of my years living here, I saw something I've never seen before. And that was traffic was coming from Twin Rivers, you know, to follow 571 south and east, coming from Twin Rivers. The cars were stopped at the stop sign at the lake, you know, so they could make a left to continue down 571. And it backed up to the turnpike exit on 33. So for a second, I thought there must be an accident or a car broken down or something. I've never seen that in all these years. And then I realized immediately, no, this is Great Adventure traffic. And it literally backed up from when they paid their toll and snaked down 33 and then making the left on Milford and all the way up to the stop sign and beyond.
And, you know, and there are also school buses that are used for
class trips?
The Black Bear and some of the other.
I haven't even seen those yet. But anyway, so.
No, they're here. They're here. I saw them this afternoon. Around 4:30, I was coming home and they were coming from Clarksburg.
Yeah. Well, I also came home recently on a Sunday evening and the traffic leaving, you know, coming through Roosevelt to leave Great Adventure was also shocking to me.
Oh, yeah. So. And also, we have, Millstone has a lot of people coming through there also.
They're
all going toward the turnpike that way.
Right. So hopefully we can expedite this and get this sign as quickly as possible. I'll do everything I can on my end and, you know, get that sign up, which at least won't prevent traffic, but at least it will prevent people from getting lost and, you know, and just flying down our streets. Okay, and the, any other discussion about Robert's engineering letters? Okay, and then the letter for the, about the LEAP implementation, we have that under new business. So we'll come to resolutions. Resolution 21-85, payment of bills for July 7th, 2021.
I move that we pay the bills.
I'll second it.
Okay. Discussion? None? Roll call?
Mr. Atwood?
Bob?
He's on mute. Mr. Atwood?
Yes, sorry.
That's okay. Mr. Ethicoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Ms. Hairstrom?
Yes.
And Mr. Mocker?
Yes.
Okay, bills are paid. Resolution 21-86, resolution establishing a lien for Block 8, Lot 14, which is 12 Fort Farm Lane, William Porter.
I'll move it.
Second?
I'll second it.
And, you know, this house has been, I think, empty for quite a long time.
Yeah, and basically the lawn needed to be mowed. It was, the grass was terribly high. And this is standard procedure for us to actually remediate it. Cost $120 and put a lien on the property.
You have a first and a second.
Yeah, roll call.
Mr. Atwood?
Yes.
Mr. Esikoff?
Yes, ma'am.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Ms. Hirstrom?
Yes.
Mr. Mocker?
Yes.
Mr. Tremet? Oops, sorry.
Okay, 2186 passes. Resolution 2187, resolution amending resolution 2159, establishing council committees for the year 2021. And this is, of course, because Connie has taken Jerry's place. So we were hoping that for the remainder of the year, Connie could just assume all of Luke's chair, which is environmental health and safety.
Yeah.
And then. Community development code enforcement. And then also, Luke was part of administration, which Connie would become a part of, and environmental health and safety. So, I think I discussed this with Connie. She was fine with this. That is the rest of the council okay with Connie assuming Luke's position?
Yeah, it's fine.
Okay, so then can I have a motion and a second?
I'll move 2187, amending the council committees.
I'll second it.
Okay. Roll call?
Okay, just to clarify, I'm inserting Connie in committee chair for community development code enforcement. She's going to be on administration and be on environmental health and safety.
I just have a question, Madam Clerk. In the body of the resolution, it says that three positions are available: environmental health and safety chair, public works committee, utilities, and so.
Yes, I'm going to have to amend that.
Okay.
Thank you very much. So I will amend that in the second paragraph, whereas due to the resignation of council member Luke Dermody, three positions are available. It's community development code enforcement chair, administration, and environmental health and safety.
And I'll accept that amendment.
Thank you.
You're very generous. You know that?
I don't think we did a first and a second, did we? I don't have that marked.
No, I think we did.
I think we did.
Did.
So,
that's why I'm amending my my initial movement.
Who was second?
I did.
You, Luke?
Luke? Yeah. We're all losing our minds tonight.
And both of you accept the amendment. I'm going to do roll call. And Mr. Atwood?
Yes.
Mr. Esikoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Ms. Hurstrom?
Yes.
Mr. Mocker?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Welcome again, Connie.
Okay, thank you.
When we come to reports of committee chairs, Councilmember Atwood, Environmental Health and Safety.
Nothing new.
Good. Hey, Council. Well, obviously, Councilmember Hurstrom does not have a report. Councilmember Esikoff, Administration.
Yes, I have something to say about the firecrackers.
Is that Administration?
On the 4th of July. It was terrible. It was across the street from me. The noise was really very annoying. My dog went nuts. This is not fair. And by the way, I understand that the people from town called the state trooper. He showed up and he didn't do a damn thing about it.
Except
he told him he shouldn't do it. And he left. And as soon as he left, they did it again.
Lou, can you save that for new business? Because it's not really part of your administration report.
That's what you want, sure.
I do.
That's easy. I'm easy.
Okay. Did you have anything for administration?
No, we're doing fine.
Okay, good.
We're administering fine.
Councilmember Hamilton, Finance.
We have a finance meeting set up for Thursday around 10:30 when Tai Chi is finished. We don't want to be in there when they're swinging their poles around. So we're going to wait until they're finished. And our CFO will join us and Anna Dubovic and hopefully the rest of the finance committee, Lou and Joe. We're going to finalize the budget. We had all the preliminary figures. We just need to make sure everything is in place and anything that was that needed to be added or whatever, we need to take a look at it. Also, today, it seems that we've had some major repairs done on the borough pickup truck. Now, the pickup truck is a 2004 pickup truck. So it's old by automotive standards. And it's gotten a lot of heavy use with the plow and all the municipal kind of work that it's done. And it needs major, major repairs costing thousands of dollars. So we may have to look at the possibility of getting another pickup truck through the state purchasing system. But we'll talk about that and other items at the finance meeting. End of report.
Thanks, Mike.
I'm sorry, Mike, can you just, it's this Thursday that you're meeting, the finance meeting? This Thursday?
Yes, Thursday at 10:30 at Borough Hall.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, Councilmember Mocker, Public Works.
Nothing to report.
Okay. And Councilmember Trammell is absent. Okay, we come to unfinished business, otherwise known as old business. So the first item is the NJDOT application for safe routes for schools, FY 2022. So I would like to say that I did have a long discussion with Carmela about this. So at first, she knows, you know, how carefully we watch our finances here. And we were turned down for the last grant that we applied for the rehabilitation of the amphitheater, which I think was a huge surprise to all of us, including Roberts Engineering. And so she was not certain that we would want to move forward with this, given that it will cost, she said the original figure that she had mentioned, $7,000, was the absolute maximum. It could be as low as $5,000 for her to prepare the application. So she wasn't certain if we were, we would be amenable to that. But I talked to her for a long time, and she was not aware of a few different events that are happening here. So first of all, she was unaware of Adventure Crossing, which I think we've discussed a few times here. And that's just a massive, massive, massive sports, entertainment, hotel, and now apartment complex on 537, directly across the street from the Wawa there, before you reach Great Adventure. This is going to be the largest complex that New Jersey has ever had, and probably most other towns. It's just going to be massive, with two hotels and full-size fields of every sport that exists inside. I don't know if you call them fields, but inside, you know, the basketball, cheerleading, along with restaurants and kiosks of shops. So the way things are going now, the people will be told by GPS, guided by GPS, to go to exit 8 and get off at exit 8 and come to 571 through Roosevelt to reach there, which, you know, used to be that people would just take the turnpike to 195, but now GPS guides them to Roosevelt. That's the first, that's not a possibility. That's a definite. That is happening. It is possible in the future that there will be a large affordable housing complex right past Ely's Corner, across from the gas stations, where the old Aqua Water was. And that was preliminarily approved by Millstone. It's possible that it won't be given final approval, and it's possible that it will. But it's a 475-unit complex. So those are additional cars eventually that will be coming down. Coming, you know, that, I don't know how many, but, you know, obviously some of them are going to come through town. So considering that we have a school on a county highway, and children cross and children walk by,
we don't want them on the street. We want them on the sidewalk.
Grant, if we're given it, would be to install sidewalks. When Carmela learned about the Adventure Crossing and possibly the possibility of a housing complex, that's a possibility, and that's in the future. Adventure Crossing is reality. So when Carmela heard that, she said that she thought that gave our grant much clout and punch. And so she felt, as I feel, that it's worth it to spend $5,000 to $7,000, even if we are denied, but at least to try to put sidewalks in there, knowing that, like right now, Great Adventure traffic is basically heavy traffic, maybe 4 months of the year, June, July, August, and September. Adventure Crossing is going to be 12 months a year. So my opinion, I feel that it's worth spending the money for the possibility that we'll get this grant to put in sidewalks. So that's my
opinion. What does she think of, if we do this, we approve this, what does she think our chances of getting the money?
Well, now she thinks, given all this additional information, that we have a much better chance. Of course, she can't guarantee it.
In her presentation, she will mention all this, what you just said.
Part of the packet, absolutely, yeah.
Do we have any data? We don't have a recent traffic study.
No, I'm actually going to call the county and ask for a new one. Ours is only 2 years old, but in 2 years, I think things have changed quite a bit, and that's without Adventure Crossing and just additional cars to Millstone. Anyway, 2 years ago, it was determined that we have about 4,000 cars a day going through town. So, and that was an odd time of year. It was March. So not quite winter, not the thick of the summer.
I think if we could push for a traffic study really quickly and get that data and add that to the grant application if we submitted it, it might help our chances to show that from the prior study, which was about 2 years ago, is that right?
Yeah.
that we could possibly show a significant increase, and then also a projected increase from the other.
Given that we know what's coming.
Yeah, and just so Connie knows, this is a grant application for a safe path to schools, or a safe, is that what it's called? Safe routes to schools. And it would provide sidewalks or some other form of protection for children when they're on their way to schools, near busy highways, that kind of thing. And what the council was trying to decide is whether or not it's worth our while to pay our borough engineer between $5,000 to $7,000 to prepare this grant application and try to figure out whether or not we have a good chance of getting the grant. So trying to weigh up whether or not it's an expenditure that's worth it for us, given the odds.
She felt our chances increased dramatically when she heard all that additional information. So, now, Mike, I think this is due in October, so I will call the county tomorrow. Whether they will do it before the grant deadline, I can't say. But I think we know, even without a traffic study, just based on what's coming. But I will see if they can expedite a study for us.
Yeah, I think it would show an increase, especially considering Great Adventure is open now. There's a lot of people making up for a year where they didn't go to Great Adventure, and there's a lot more traffic, and that would bolster our case. So that would be great. So I'd like to see if we could defer and possibly get that data, and if not, then maybe go ahead with it in lieu of that.
I thought it was worth it. No, knowing if things were stagnant, everything was staying the way it was, we may not. But knowing what's coming, of course, I tried to see if it was possible to have GPS, but it's not. We'll do the traffic study, but just in case we can't, we should give the go-ahead to prepare for Carmela to prepare this application.
I could put a resolution on the July 19th meeting. By then, hopefully, you'll know.
Yeah, at least I'll have an answer whether they can do the study or not. Right.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Okay, that's good. Okay, the next item on unfinished business is cannabis legislation. So I think it's fair to say that we need to opt out for now. We don't have nearly the information we need. We don't have the time for the planning board to be involved or environmental commission or anything. So I would think that we did collect the flyers, and it's 2-1 in favor of having something here. So, I just wanted a general idea of how the residents felt.
Can I ask how many
we got back? I don't remember. I mean, not nearly as many as went out. But I knew last week. I don't know how many more. I don't know. Maybe close to 100, maybe?
Oh, okay.
Something like that. So it was definitely 2-1 in favor. And then it's funny because the ones in favor were completely like all over the board. Remember there were 6 different classes. I want class 1, I want class 2, I want class 3. So it was, there was no clear consensus on if something was here, which class people would be in favor of. But for now, there's just, I would think that we have to opt out now and then have a lot more.
We have to decide where we want to put this.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
I have to tell you that I'm very, very hesitant about putting anything that looks like that at the garage. It's not a good place for that kind of a thing.
Well, I
understand the traffic alone is going to be, if you put something like that there, the traffic is going to be.
Well, you say something, Lou, but there's 6 different types of things that can go in.
I understand. I understand.
Well, let me just say this one thing, which
it's too small. It's too small for growing, because you need these hot houses, and they're very big. And so that I would think eliminates it there.
Right, but there are three farms.
I agree with you. Let's table it for a while.
Without getting into the details, I don't think we have the time because of the timeline on it. August 22nd?
No, we don't.
And it would have to go through planning board approvals. They'd have to revisit the master plan. You know, all these kind of things. And then it would have to go before the council for first and second reading. And I think the safest route for us to take, and Andrew can probably talk about that, is to opt out initially.
That's what I said. I'm certain opt out. We absolutely don't have the time. I just want to tell everyone something I learned today. And we're not discussing it tonight. So I shouldn't even say this, but, one of the options is a grow facility. So I was imagining a greenhouse. So I thought that might be good, like a nice greenhouse on one of the farm properties we are a farm and agricultural community. And I thought a greenhouse might look lovely, but it turns out that that's not what the growing facility looks like at all. It looks like a warehouse.
That's right.
Inside, and the way they do it, which is obviously I was completely ignorant about all this, it's not some like plants in there, it's more sort of, I don't know, electronic. Like, it's not grown like a traditional greenhouse in any way. It doesn't look like a greenhouse, and that's not how things are grown. So when I was picturing a greenhouse on one of the three farm properties in town, I was not picturing a warehouse. So I don't know if anyone else was aware of that, but just in case, you know, as we think about it, whenever we, you know, begin all this process, don't picture a lovely greenhouse with glass and sun on it. It will look like a warehouse.
Yeah, there was an article about one of the towns, and I can't remember which one, that has a pharmaceutical company, maybe it'd be Pfizer or something, a large, large complex. That is vacant now because they moved their production somewhere else, and they will be using that for as a greenhouse. But if you can imagine the size of a pharmaceutical facility with all of their buildings and fencing, and that's probably more like what they're looking at, you know.
I was told it's going to look like a warehouse.
So right.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
As a council. As a council, can we do a final opt-out vote without having any public meetings, though?
Do we need a vote?
You have to have two meetings, I thought.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Andrew's going to have to, or Gray, put together an ordinance that's going to talk about the zoning locations, correct, and that we choose to opt out?
Yes.
Yeah,
we would have to put it on
the July 19th. I need that.
July 19th, yes.
Yeah.
For first reading of an ordinance on the 19th?
It's just going to be an ordinance. It's not public hearing.
And then there would be a public hearing at the second reading, and the public would be heard then, right? Yes.
Correct. And that would be because in between, like you discussed, it has to go to the planning board because it involves land use. So it goes July 19th, and the planning board should be August 3rd. Then they send us a consistency report.
We changed the planning board night, remember? It's going to be the second Wednesday.
So it's going to be August 11th. Okay, they have to get it to me by August 16th, their consistency report. Really cutting it close.
Yeah.
Yes, you have to opt out by August 22nd. Opt in, opt out, make your decision no later than August 22nd.
What happens if we don't make the time?
Then we're automatically in.
Everything gets grandfathered in.
And what?
And we're in for everything.
You're in for all six classes.
If we don't opt out, Lou.
You don't opt out.
The state will put us in as a yes for all six classes.
And then you have to wait another 5 years.
But my understanding is they would be grandfathered in anybody who comes in within those 5 years, if a retail store does, even if you choose in 5 years to opt out and have no more retail, correct?
It's my understanding. I don't.
My understanding right now.
Okay, so we'll have first reading of the ordinance on July 19th, and then second reading and hearing on
August 16th.
Okay.
Okay.
New business, Monmouth County LEAP implementation grant. So did everyone read that in their packet?
I think that's you.
Yes. Okay. So this is a grant.
This is a grant that the county is offering, and they're applying for this,
and it will give us 2 years of digital enhancement, high resolution digital enhancement for.
Aerial photography.
Aerial photography.
Right. Well, and then if we were happy with it, then at some point after the 2 years has ended, we would pay for it. Although this one, I have no idea what.
Yeah, they don't have anything.
Yeah.
That's what a LEAP, if they want to. Okay. Oh, you can't see that.
Sorry. I think it could be very useful to have all of that data. Steve, I know this is kind of in your Ballywick. What did you think of the LEAP program?
Well, I think, nicer imagery would be great. My only concern is, though, I think I read something in the contract that was included in an email that if the county doesn't get the grant from the state, the towns are on the hook for the money. Did I see that in there?
No, if they don't receive the grant, then it's a no-go. We're not signing anything. We're just going to do a resolution that supports them for applying for this. So we're not signing any shared service agreement at this time. That's
okay.
Yeah, we wouldn't be on the hook for it.
No, I would move to do that.
Makes sense to me.
All right, so again, I'll have a resolution on the July 19th meeting stating that we're going to participate with Monmouth County for this LEAP grant.
Yes.
Okay?
Yep.
Okay, we come to public portion on any item. I'm going to open the floor at 7:44 p.m. Just please remember to state your name and address. Mike?
Hey, Michael Tickton, 37 North Valley Road. I just wanted to know if there's been any progress about the Environmental Commission secretary yet.
I heard you were asking a lot.
Yeah.
Yes, I interviewed someone today, and she's interested in the position. So I'll
very
talk
good
about it now.
Excellent. Thank you. And give us the information so we'll be able to elect that person at the council, at the environmental meeting.
So it's the third Wednesday, right?
Third Wednesday, correct.
Yeah, which is this month, the...
If you can have the person contact me beforehand so we can prepare for the meeting and everything.
We do have to add her as
an employee,
so we do have to do a resolution adding her, and it will be on the July 19th, but when's your meeting, Mike?
21st.
The 21st.
Yeah.
Okay.
It should be fine.
Okay, good. Thank you.
I'll talk to you about a little bit more, Mike.
Sure. Thank you.
Does anyone else have anything that they'd like to ask or say or talk about?
I do.
Teresa's got her hand up.
Teresa Aukus, 37 Farm Lane. Good evening.
I've been pronouncing your name wrong for years.
I'm sorry?
I've been pronouncing your name wrong for years.
Oh, okay. That's okay. I'm used to it. I just wanted to, Lou had brought up an issue of the 4th of July fireworks that took place on Farm Lane on 4th of July. And I, as a former middle school teacher. I have a visual aid for you. And this is what I would collected on my front and back lawn the evening right after the fireworks display, as well as the morning of, or after, sorry. And so according to the fireworks, what is it called? New Jersey Explosives and Fireworks Act, 21-2-1. I don't think these qualify as, things that sparklers. These are just a portion of what was found. I don't know if you can see that. The remnants went as far as the North Valley Road sideline where our property ends. So what that means is these explosive devices were exploding directly over my house, landing on my house, landing where I sit on my patio, where I enjoy my time on my deck. And also, I have a picture that shows where something hit my car, front right, and it landed on the tar driveway. That is orange residue from the explosive. Now, I could go on and on and on and explain how the person who set this off is annoying and is completely unaware of the added or the feelings of the neighbors.
Completely out of control.
But what I will tell you is this has become a safety issue. If I was outside sitting on my patio, this would have landed on my head. And what is to be done?
I know this is not what I want to say to you, and I know how you feel. I'm right on the other side of the woods there. But there's nothing we can do. It's a police matter. There's just nothing that we can do. I'm so sorry to tell you that. I know that's not what you want to hear. But it's
so are you going to contact the police?
I can. As a matter of fact, I had been wanting to set up an appointment with the state police. I had a couple of different issues I wanted to discuss with them. But I understand. Now, I wasn't home July 4th, so I actually didn't hear these or see that. But
I stayed home because I wanted to protect my home.
Yeah. And so were the police called? I thought the police were called.
They were called. They showed up. As it stands, myself, my husband, and about three other neighbors in the community were standing at the corner of North Valley and Farm Lane. And 10 minutes before the patrol got there, everything went quiet. And friends of this person, they left. So it makes me think that they had a scanner or something.
They must have had a scanner. Otherwise, the timing is too coincidental.
Yeah. Well, the patrol showed up, asked us where it was occurring. And everyone on the corner was pointing in that direction. We were not the only ones who were there. And he pulled up. He was going to ask him to, quiet it down. It needs to be done by 10:30, whatever our time for, the noise ordinance is. And he went in, apparently, I didn't observe that, but there was a interaction. The patrol left. 10 minutes later, the finale started. And there were numerous witnesses. I personally witnessed several of the residents in Solar Village come out. There was a few of my neighbors in their nightgowns looking out the window like, what is going on? There was one resident who was like cheering them on. Yeah. But when I found some of the remnants. And according to this, about the rules and regulations in New Jersey, it clearly states that anything beyond, anything that basically flies in the air is illegal unless you have a permit. And today I called the Borough Hall to find out if this person had a permit. The answer was no.
And that's current because I know they sell. Well, it's legal now to sell way more than...
If you have a permit. So they're going to sell it to whoever. If you, do you have a permit for this? Sure, I do. Do they check it? How do we know?
Andrew, is it?
Listen, this is not, obviously not my forte. But it's my understanding that it is now a little bit beyond sparklers, which are allowed in the state of New Jersey. You can go to Costco. You can go to your local ShopRite.
There's a giant place right at Great Adventure.
Okay, I don't want to hear.
Can I ask? Is that, if I might, does that include mortars that are 12 to 18 inches high that shoot out sparklers 150 to 200 feet or shots 250 feet in the air with multiple dispersing things?
Andrew,
does it include that? Yes or no?
Does
the law allow for that? Yes or no?
Just a second, Andrew. Can the officers go themselves?
It's not just us. It's the rest of the neighborhood.
But, I mean, could they go themselves to court and file a complaint or to the police? Like, what? How?
You can always file a citizen's complaint against someone that you believe is violating the law, whether it's a noise disturbance, a disorderly person's offense, you know, whether in fact they're illegal. It would probably be pretty hard right now to file an offense for a fireworks violation. But at the same time, you could absolutely file you can go to the municipal court and file a complaint for a noise disturbance. Absolutely.
But
you're saying that Roosevelt Borough has no obligation to pursue the safety of its citizens.
I'm not saying that.
That's the answer. That's what you've told us last time. And that's what you're telling us tonight. You're totally abdicating the responsibility for a secure, safe community, despite the fact that there's clear rules, state law, saying that it's illegal. And you're trying to push us off as though it's something else. And there's something you can do things. Let's see what you can do. If you want to do something, we'll do it. But we're not here to talk about what we're going to do. We're here to talk about what the borough council is going to do. And the community is going to do. That's what we're here to talk about. Not to have you keep pushing it back on us as individuals.
Well, I think that's because the Borough Council, really, that's not their, we're not allowed to.
There's many communities around New Jersey that are cracking down on fireworks. They're using law enforcement and whatnot to do it. It's possible.
Yeah, they probably have the
right. It's possible. You can do it.
We had the state police and you saw what they did.
Right.
Well, you can talk to the state police about their behavior. Okay. I mean, I'm not going to blame the officer. He was in whatever situation he was in, but he didn't have any clear guiding authority about what he could do in Roosevelt. And if they're responsible for Roosevelt, they should have some clear guiding authority about what they can and can't do in Roosevelt.
Mark, they don't get their the modus operandi, if you want to call it that. The state completely. We have nothing, no bearing whatsoever on them.
Well, then that can be brought up. Then they should follow the state statutes and enforce them.
That's for sure. That's what he should have done in the first place.
Yeah, they are supposed to follow the state statute.
I'm just thankful to whoever called that in. That was smart. But it didn't go far enough.
Right.
So what I'm asking is, I am also a resident of Roosevelt. How is my town council going to protect me?
Let me ask a question about that for Andrew, too. If they want to file a complaint Would that be a Millstone court? And if they did, could we come in as representatives of the government and say, yeah, this is a real problem? And we've had numerous complaints from other citizens pointing to this homeowner or this person who's been setting off these fireworks, and we'd like to see something done about it. Can we add to that?
No, this is not the time for an amicus brief here on behalf of the citizens. What happens is you go to the local municipal court, you file a complaint, a citizen's complaint. A judge will then determine whether there is probable cause in order to certify the complaint, and then that complaint would be served by the law enforcement officer.
That's what we are going to be. You're telling us what we can do as individuals. Fine. We want to hear what Roosevelt Borough is going to do about the problem. That's why we came here tonight, to talk to you about what you're going to do.
I think we're very limited with what we're legally committed to do. Are we, Andrew? I mean, if there's anything we can do, we'll do it. But I think.
Well, then that's all we ask. I don't want to keep going on about all the things you can't do. I would just invite the borough council to investigate, not tonight, but soon, in preparation for the next time it's going to happen, what the borough council can do and what they will do.
Is there anything we could do?
We can discuss things and ordinances that we can put in place. And I think that's what the citizens are asking for, is in the town look at whatever options are available. I mean, listen, obviously, you know, fireworks, they're probably still sold throughout the year, is my guess. And so, maybe putting something in place by Labor Day would be the next, big holiday. But it's certainly something that the town, the mayor and the council can look into and, with my office.
And such as what? What would we put in place?
There's ordinances that we can look at.
That prohibit it? I mean, don't
prohibit it, because they can lend itself to be a disorderly person. It's a noise disturbance, using explosive devices that, cause shock to a community.
Yeah, the more teeth we can put into that, in terms
more than bottle rockets.
Ordinances, this way there could be numerous violations for somebody, and he could have a total of a pretty severe penalty that they may have to pay, which would discourage other people from doing it. I just wanted to point out that there was a recent article about a goalie for a semi-professional hockey team, and he was at a party recently. He got hit in the chest with a mortar. The mortar fell down, it went horizontal, it hit him in the chest, and it killed him.
Yesterday.
Yeah, it killed him. So
he was sitting in the hospital.
This is very serious.
Yes, I can tell you for a fact, last year when we were at home wondering what was going to happen to our house, one of these mortar things tipped over and shot straight across our yard. If we would have been out sitting on our patio, that would have hit one of us, and that would have been this hockey player situation. I mean, this is not about a nuisance. This is about a danger.
Yeah.
This is deep safety issues.
And that's what this law, tell me if this law is not real. Andrew, do you know? Is it, it's the New Jersey Explosives and Fireworks Act, NJSA 21:2-1.
I know.
I mean, it's straight forward.
21:2-1.
21:2-1. NJSA 21:2-1.
And then there's an amendment, PL 2017 C-92. But in the end, it still says nothing can leave the ground.
I'm not sure that's still.
It's what it says right here.
Well, read it.
Leave the ground.
Well, I have.
I don't know. I just know that they legalized quite a lot of fireworks in Jersey.
As the mayor, if you don't know right now, you shouldn't be communicating that, because you're signaling a gray area that may not be true.
No, I don't know. We have to.
Okay, then leave it at that. But don't have to try to say that it could be legal, whatever. Well, say it's not legal as far as you know.
But Teresa mentioned sparklers, and I know that more than sparklers, for certain, I know more than sparklers are legal now.
No. Permissible fireworks are limited to handheld or ground-based sparklers, snakes and glowworms, smoke devices, trick noisemakers, including party poppers, snappers, and drop pops. That does not say mortars that shoot fireworks 200 feet in the air and then explode over a quarter, you know, 500 or more feet.
That hit my car right here. Look at how that hit it. And it dropped to the ground. There's a huge orange explosive. What if there was a child? What if my neighbor's child was sitting in a lawn chair right there? That child would have been killed and the Roosevelt Borough would be responsible.
No, they wouldn't. And we're not the only ones. It's the other side and behind.
Follow through with the ordinance.
Don't think I'm not defending what happened in any way or being supportive. I'm only pointing out, you know, a few things. I would not want to be in your position for 1 minute. On a personal note, my sister teaches blind people. She despises fireworks because she has, over the years, have had so many clients who were blinded by fireworks. I mean, they're dangerous. There's no two ways about it. They're really dangerous and they're annoying. We will do whatever we can. If we can pass a stronger ordinance, we can institute.
Can we ask the administration committee to form and to look at this issue? Look at what the state law is on it, and let's look at what other municipalities are doing to legislate protections for their citizens regarding this issue. Because it is an issue probably in a lot of towns. Just about everywhere you go, you hear it going off in residential areas all over the place. But we need to protect people, and we're legislators. That's what we do as council. We pass legislation. We can't enforce, but we can put the laws in place to protect people, and we need to do that.
Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And also, too, I think there's ways to, I would assume there's ways to also talk about the practices, right? We don't have our own fire department. We don't have our own law enforcement, but we contract out for that. Okay. What can be done with those practices that further facilitate the enforcement or the carrying out of the law? I don't know. I'm not looking for an answer tonight. I'm just asking you to investigate.
You can call the state police and you can stand there and insist that they do something about it, not walk away.
Well, and I know the fire departments, like the Millstone Fire Department, will go around to communities and talk about fire prevention and how to operate things safely. And all of that, they could do an outreach kind of thing. We contract with them. And I think that's a reasonable suggestion too.
By the way, we're learning more too about what we can do and we appreciate that. But again, we're here tonight to ask you as our representatives what the borough can do. I appreciate that you're willing to take a deep look at this. And I know our other neighbors will definitely appreciate it.
If I could raise a couple of points, number one is...
Maureen, Maureen, you have to, hold on a minute, because you have to be identified.
No, I put my hand up.
So I just want to clarify this. So Andrew, it will take a few meetings to look at the ordinances, to put one in place, set up a fine structure. In the meantime, should they make a criminal, civil complaint at the courthouse? At least put that in motion for now.
I mean, that's always, you know, that's their right. I can't tell someone to go press charges against another individual.
It's an option for them.
Absolutely an option.
Hi, this is Peggy from North Valley Road. I just wanted to also point out that our house is behind 35 Farm Lane, and we had some of the orange residue on our car, which is on the opposite side of our house and on our back deck. So I can only imagine what actually fell on our house as well. And we've had different debris in the yard in past years. So it is quite frightening. And actually even seeing the news tonight, the two houses that burned to the ground in Long Island due to fireworks, So it's quite a large danger.
Yeah, you have my word. I will set up a meeting with the state police and strongly urge them to be much more stringent when they arrive here. I know sometimes the police try to appease everyone or, you know, come to like a reasonable compromise, but I will urge them to.
I want to thank you for that. If you learn something from them about how best to approach them and how best to ask them what action to take, that would be great. Like, I realize now we should have asked them to ask for
a permit.
Didn't think of it at the time. But of course, we didn't make the call, but that's okay. Somebody did, and I thank that citizen for doing so. But, you know, anything like that, just sometimes it's just little things that, you know, they all add up. And I appreciate all the attention.
Yeah, I mean, I know sometimes the police, you know, they just will say, like, okay, stop. And not ask to see the permit or not threaten or anything. So, if, you know, they often come in. I mean, I've called them myself a few times over the years for different issues. And they really don't want to come down hard on anyone if it's not an actual criminal a murder issue. But when I meet with them, I can ask them to be as strict as possible. Because believe me, I know where your house is. I know what you've put up with for years and years and years.
Just one thing to add to that, Peggy, when you do speak to them, you know, in the guidelines here, from what I read, it says that you need a permit. That's because when you have a permit, that means that you are going to be a community fireworks program or show, and you are going to have firemen there in case there something does go awry. I mean, East Windsor would be jealous of this fireworks display that went off, and I am no joke. We took video of it. It's thrilling. It's appalling. It's scary as hell because it's landing directly above me. And so the permit issue, what are laws unless they're enforced?
I actually am a big fan of professional fireworks.
So me too.
We had them for many, many, many years, and then we stopped having them, mostly because the people who would set them off moved away, and eventually the cost became prohibitive. But I really wanted to bring them back. So last year, I really investigated having fireworks at the end of our 4th of July picnic. Then it turned out that they would be much less expensive if we had them later on in the summer, like not on the 4th. I thought we had a movie night in August. I thought maybe we could have them after the movie night. So we went all the way down the line, Anna and I, and we started with, to get the permits, right? So first we contacted our insurance company. It was fine. It wasn't going to be very much money at all. We also contacted the fireworks companies, and, you know, we got prices for after the 4th, which were pretty reasonable. The town could afford it. All the way down the line, we were given the okay until the final person I met with, who was the state fire marshal. And he came out here, and we were behind the school in the field where we always set them off. And he said, no, you're too close to the tree line. I said, really? Because look at all this ground, you know, and we always have been here. I've been here since 74. We all, you know, it was fine. He said, you're too close to the tree line. He said, there could be a brush fire. I said, yeah, we used to have brush fires all the time in the summers because they were hot and dry. But now with climate change, it rains constantly. We're one big swamp here. We never have brush fires anymore. And he just smiled and he said, either cut your trees way down, extend your field. He would, the state, very nice man, but he would, all my coercing, he would not allow us to set them off in a big field, let alone in a little backyard next door to you. So believe me, I know exactly what you're talking about and how dangerous it is. Annoying is only annoying. Dangerous is a whole other ballgame. I
saw
in Cranberry last night. My car was parked so far. First of all, they set them up in the lake. My car was parked so far from there, I took a picture. There was ash all over my car at the end of Cranberry fireworks. And then my car was nowhere near where they set them up. That's how high they were and then, you know, scattered down. So believe me, I'm extremely sympathetic. So I, whatever we can do, see, no one, you never complained like this before. They are set up next door to you every year, right? And more than once a year.
Well, I will tell you, in years past, we are usually on vacation in Minnesota until we have had neighbors who have told us,
better stay home.
You better stay home because there are fireworks going off. Since then, we've been home. And so there's our vacation.
We'll pass.
Nervous stomach all day long, dreading the 4th of July.
And you have to stay home. Yeah.
And it does state in here, and I left a few copies for anyone else on the council who would like to read this. It does state that the fire marshal is the one who has to approve the permit.
Right.
So.
Let alone one house. So you have
exactly.
To speak to the council, but I think we will try to pass the strongest ordinance we can.
Can we look at this in the administration committee, Lou?
Yes.
Do you think we can call an administration committee meeting? And I think Connie's on administration now, and I don't know who else. Maybe who knows? But anyhow, start pulling ordinances. Start looking at putting more protections in place.
You know, the truth be known, we can do this, but I'm not sure that makes any sense. Because we can have it, but what are we going to do with it?
Well, if they go and file complaints, file numerous complaints for 3 or 4 violations of municipal ordinances, and if they are convicted of those violations of the ordinances, there could be a fine for each one, which can be a significant deterrent for somebody doing that kind of thing.
Let me tell you.
Talking off the top of my head, I'm not an attorney.
Let me just tell you something. With this guy living across the street with him, I don't know how the office has tolerated him this long. It's amazing.
It's getting close.
if I lived next door, they might have him in jail by now. Because he has violated every rule in the book. The state police, housing inspector went by there, took him to court. I understand, if I'm not mistaken, he even spent some time in jail. It was a short time, but he was in jail.
Well, that was all different issues.
And look, he's doing the same thing over and over again. He's running a business, a car repair business on his driveway. He's doing, you see the place, it looks like a junk shop. That's not legal in Roosevelt, and he's doing it. And he's getting away with it. The inspector comes, tells him he's got to cut it out, hauls him into court. 2 days later, everything calms down and he starts all over again. And on a bed in between, you should see what it looks like.
We don't have to live like that.
The officers don't have to live like that.
Andrew, can you?
So all the ordinances we have don't mean a damn thing. You have a state law that says they cannot do it. The state police have to enforce it. If they enforce it, you don't need any ordinances.
I will meet with the police. Andrew, can you look up, some of the strongest ordinance against fireworks?
Yes, I can.
Concerning fireworks.
Thank you. I mean, all you can do is all you can do. We just want to just do it. Let's not think about what we can't do. Let's not think about the impediments. Let's not think about the hurdles. Let's just think about there's some objective facts. There's some clear-cut rules and there's some practices, and let's just put them in play and be persistent.
Okay.
and be persistent.
And the persistence has to come. Mark, I'm telling you the truth.
I
appreciate what you're going through, because I've lived across the street from God and from this God for a long time, as you have next taken. And I tell you something, the only way you're going to do this is if the state police stop him from doing it.
Sure, I get that. And I'm not, I don't.
And we have to talk to the state police to tell them.
This isn't a personal thing. This is a public matter.
Well, I
this
understand.
This is why we're coming back. This is why we're coming to the council. We'll keep pressing on the council. Let's do what we can as a public.
He was doing those things for over an hour. Then he starts again. Look,
people have analyzed the character up and down. There's no point in talking about that. Let's just deal with the objective facts and the rules and take action.
Look, the state.
We will, on our end, talk to the police, craft an ordinance.
Thank you.
Do everything we can on our end.
That we can do, but I'm not sure.
That's what we can do. Let's do it.
We'll do that.
Sorry you guys have to go through this in that neighborhood. That's really unfair to you. We'll try
it's
to
such a beautiful area, but I tell you, it's wearing thin.
Yeah. Well, a lot of patience, I have to say.
Yeah.
And I was a middle school teacher. I will tell you that. And I had to have a lot of patience. And maybe that's why we've lasted 20 years here. Patience is done. It's done. And one of the things is when somebody's acting naughty like this and basically gives the middle finger to the troopers and the town council, that is inappropriate. And that person knows that they are getting away with something. And he's basically told us that in the years past. And so you have to think of what an appropriate logical sort of, result of this infraction is, because there's going to be other people who hear that, oh, this guy can put on a show. I'm going to do that too. Cause I've already heard other people talking about, how this is happening elsewhere. So I appreciate the fact that you're going to work on this. I look forward to it so that we can have a peaceful 4th of July, go to a nice celebration where they have a permitted fireworks display. I love it as much as you do, but when it's right above my head, I can't take it. Thank you.
I just want to get Peggy. Can you identify your name and address again?
Hi, it's Peggy Ring. For North Valley Road.
Okay, thank you. Maureen?
Oh, you're welcome.
Yeah, I just wanted to say a couple things. One is that, Maureen Parrott, 2 Tamara Drive, Roosevelt, New Jersey. That wasn't the only place in Roosevelt that had fireworks. We had them over here on Tamara or Pine. I'm not sure. I didn't go outside to scope out who was doing it, but it was fireworks. So it's not the only place. And in my view, one of the major problems in Roosevelt is the absence of enforcement of any laws, any and every. We do not need another ordinance. We need enforcement of what we have. If we had Jeremy, the code enforcement guy here on the 4th, he could have filed the complaint. And that's what we should have, in my opinion. I don't care if you had to pay him overtime or whatever. In my opinion, he should have been here, and then we wouldn't have to be dealing with this. And the state police, I think, are abysmal. They do not enforce anything. The last council meeting, I talked about how traffic had been diverted on a Sunday, Father's Day, onto my street, on Tamara. And it was nonstop. 40, 50 miles an hour traffic. And the state police finally came because I stood in the middle of the road and some guy driving called them. And all he did was take the trash cans that residents had put in the center of the road. He removed them. He did nothing to keep the traffic in a safe pattern. I'm sorry I get angry because this is an issue that the state police are abysmal. They do not enforce, they never enforce any traffic laws ever or any laws in Roosevelt. I just think, I mean, if do they have certain, they have obligations, I wish we would hold them to those obligations. And if the state police could have filed a complaint on the 4th, well, then they should have. Why didn't they? So that's my two. I just think it's abysmal. And I mean, I begged the state police on that day when there were this traffic. I saw the guy and I begged him to do something. He didn't want to do anything. He did not want to do anything. And all they did was want to facilitate driving 40 miles an hour down in front of my house. So whatever, I would love to go to a meeting with the state police myself and give them a piece of my mind. So.
Okay, well, I do disagree with you that we don't enforce anything here. Jeremy works very hard. He's given a long list every week. So as far as code enforcement and zoning, we definitely are on top of everything. But we're a small town. We don't have our own police force. You know, we do. I think this is a pervasive problem among small towns.
Well, zoning isn't safety. That's a whole different issue. It's easy to enforce zoning, but that is not safety. Safety goes way ahead of, in my opinion, goes on top of zoning, way on top of it.
Zoning and code enforcement, so those rules we enforce. Anything that we can enforce, we do. We don't have our own police force, so there can't be someone here at all times monitoring everything.
Well, it's a legal issue. What are the obligations of the state police? Really, for Andrew, it is a legal issue. What are their obligations when it comes to enforcement?
Who is our liaison with the state police, Peggy? Can we meet with them? On the police end.
Yeah. No, I have a call.
The Hamilton Barracks, right?
I have a call with them already because they know, because I'm in the middle of setting up a meeting about a few different issues. One of them is speeding, you know, to have more monitoring, have them come and park at the
police. They have come to council meetings before in the past. Regarding various issues.
I would love that. And this also relates to safe routes to school. I had spoken with, because I always walk to the post office, and I had spoken with the crossing guard there, and she told me, the one now, this year, that even with her sign, they won't slow down.
That's true.
On the safe routes to school, I think we should do an affidavit of the crossing guards.
Oh, I've been out there when they've almost
started. I'm saying an affidavit that they won't slow down, even with a crossing guard standing there.
You know, years ago, I want to tell you something. Years ago, when I was on the council, we had a very nice, and the police were in Hightstown, or in East Windsor, wherever, you know, up on the, on 130. We had a very nice relationship with them, with the state police. They would show up when you called them, and they did what they were supposed to do. I remember it very clearly. As a matter of fact, every year, a sergeant or a lieutenant would come and stay at council meetings and listen to us and listen to our grievances, and they would take care of them. Since they moved to Hamilton, they're 20 minutes away, 25 minutes away. By the time they get here, it could be over. So whatever they were coming to do. So, you know, that's a problem. That's one problem. The other is, again, what Teresa was describing is appalling. He came, he talked to the guy, he stopped for a while as soon as he left, and he said to him, instead of arresting him, summonsing him, do something to make him stop. All he said to him was stop, and everybody was laughing when he left. Everybody was laughing, and that was the end of it. And they started all over again. Look, I live across the street. I hear him all the time. I complain about the way he keeps his property. Keeps doing it.
All right, I think we all have the point now. So I'll meet with the police. We'll put, you know, stronger ordinances in place. And also people should file their own complaints to the courts. Like, maybe if it comes out from every end. you know, might have more of an effect. But, you know, in some other, in some ways our hands are tied, but we will do everything that we can.
If
I think this is a problem, like, all over. I don't think it's limited to Roosevelt. This is a problem everywhere. But unfortunately, since we don't have our own police and we don't have a large roster of employees, it's not, you know, we're limited. But it's a dangerous situation, and no one's happy about it.
If whoever you talk to wants to see to determine that these are a little bit more than a bottle rocket, they can definitely come over and take a look at them. They still smell quite fresh. I would be happy to share that with them.
Photographs of that, Teresa?
I'm sorry?
Photograph that also? Document it?
Oh, I've got photographs everywhere of where everything landed. But then I've also got this. I've got the one that hit our car. Just tell me where I need to send a photo, and I will do it.
As soon as I know.
Okay. Thank you.
Is there anyone else from the public who has anything else they would like to say? Right, seeing none. I'm going to close the public portion at 8:28 p.m. So, Counselor, we do need a closed session, correct?
That's correct.
Okay, so I have a motion, resolution 21 dash.
Hold on, let me get it.
Yeah,
I have it. Okay. It'll be
21-88. Provided for a private executive meeting that excludes the public.
All right, so can I have a first and second, and then I'll read the resolution?
You have the my first.
Okay, second?
I second it.
Okay.
Roll call.
No, I have to read.
No, what are we in closed for?
Well, when I read it, you'll hear it.
Good.
Whereas the Open Public Meetings Act, enacted October 21st, 1975, permits a public body to exclude the public from meetings or portions thereof wherein matters are to be discussed, which are exempted from the requirements of the Act. And whereas the said Act requires that prior to the holding of a meeting or portion thereof from which the public shall be excluded, the public body should adopt a resolution at a public meeting providing for the holding of a private meeting. And whereas the Borough Council of the Borough of Roosevelt has determined that a meeting should be held from which the public should be excluded in order to discuss a subject which is exempted under the said Act. Now, therefore, be resolved by the Borough Council as follows. That the next portion of this meeting to be held in private session, that the general nature of the matter to be discussed relates to the matter, potential litigation, NERCO Road, right-of-way encroachment. That no official action will be taken at the meeting, but minutes shall be kept and shall be available to the public after official action on the subject matter has been taken. It is anticipated the discussion conducted in closed session can be disclosed to the public after no further action is required on this matter. I do a roll call. Mr. Atwood?
Yes.
Mr. Ethcock?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Ms. Hertstrom?
Yes.
Mr. Marker?
Yes.
Okay. So our resolution has been adopted, and everyone, is this Peggy?
Yeah, on 5688, she needs to.
She needs to exit.
Yeah, Michael Tickton too.
Yeah, I will get out.
Sorry.
Remove. Can I remove her? Let's see what happens on remove. If you want to remove, once removed, we'll not be able to rejoin the mailing. Sorry. Okay, I'm going to stop. Hold on. I got to stop recording. Pause it. Okay. Okay, we are out of executive session at 8:40 p.m. And no action is being taken, so we can ask for an adjournment.
You got it.
Motion to adjourn. Lou?
Second. Lou?
Second.
Bob? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, see you on the 19th.
Okay, thank you all.
Sure, have a good night.
Thanks, Andrew.
Thanks, guys. Bye. Nice to meet you, Connie.
Thanks.
Bye. Glad to have you on board.